Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky. Good morning, Mike.
I typically have a plan, but it's not always a good plan.
Well, I don't know.
All you got to do is ask my wife about that.
Revenue estimating. What's going on?
Well, we now are seeing the official and expected results of what happens when you shut down the economy. And it's going to get ugly. It's going to be ugly certainly between now and September 30th and probably for the better part of the 21 budget year. And we have a constitutional requirement to pass a balanced budget. We can't print money like the feds do. And so we have to take some action. And unfortunately, and this is not meant to be a political statement, but we're still waiting for our governor to make a recommendation. That's the way the process is supposed to work when there's a negative revenue impact. It's per law. And we're still waiting for that first notification from the governor with an executive order to do a negative revenue adjustment. And every day that we wait, the hole actually gets deeper because we continue to spend money. And it's very frustrating. I have our team in the Appropriations Department and Appropriations Committee in the Senate working on how we would achieve it. But it actually has to start with a affirmative motion from the executive office. And so every day that we wait for that, the cuts get bigger and they hurt more. If you ask me the question, why is she waiting?
That's what I was going to ask you.
My only guess, and it's strictly a guess, Greg, is that she's thinking that the federal government's going to ride in with a white hat and a white horse and, you know, and rescue. And I just don't see that happening. And B, I'm not even sure it's good if they did. We've already spent a couple of $1 trillion in increase in our deficit, national deficit, for the CARES Act. That's the reacting to the COVID stuff nationally. And it's, you know, so we're going to be in a pickle here real soon if we don't start taking action. And we're doing all we can to prepare, but we have to have a partner.
What about schools, Mike?
It was my hope that between now and middle of June, we'll have some direction for schools. And I think it'd be a shame if we didn't open up schools in the fall. Give schools some guidelines, some direction, and let them have a fair amount of latitude as to when they open up, how fast they open up. Leave it up to them. They have to deal with their parents, and parents have to be convinced that schools are ready. Nobody should be waiting for government to make the blessing, because that government's not that smart. So I've been talking with, you know, we have a unique set of superintendents in Jackson County that they're fantastic. And getting guidance from them in terms of the types of questions they need answers to before they can put an executable, actionable plan in place. And in fact, I got a conference call with them this morning on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
But the list is long, and again, it's all built upon these executive orders that our governor has put in place, and it's time that every day that goes by gives the schools one less day to put a plan in place, to talk with the teachers, talk with their staff, talk with the parents, and get prepared for the fall. So it's the next. I really don't like using this word, but frankly, it's the next battle we have to have after the budget to provide some clarity for schools. And it's just another in a long list of things.
You would suspect parents would be a tough read. They're probably all over the map, wouldn't you think?
I believe so. I personally haven't tested that much, other than my friends and acquaintances, right, and family and so forth. But, you know, there's a good sort. I think they're distributed. There's a good part of parents who would like their kids to go back to school, because kids need structure, kids need the social interaction, kids need, frankly, the education, and parents in most cases are, you know, busy working, or they will be working. Then there's others who are concerned from a safety standpoint. I think that we will prove over time that that can be mitigated, not eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody should expect a risk-free environment. That's an impossible standard to achieve. So that's part of the navigation here, is to walk that pathway between how much risk can people accept and versus how much need do they have. And it's just like the economy. When Gretchen made the decision to close down schools, I texted her and said, listen, I know that was a tough decision, but that doesn't even come close to how tough it's going to be to defining when they can open back up. And not sure that was fully understood, but it'll become very, very clear here shortly, because it's complex. It's just like the economy. It's easy to shut down an economy, but it's not easy to start it back up. And we're seeing evidence of that even this week with their announcement of quote unquote, air quotes, opening up Northern Michigan.
Right.
Well, it really is an opening. I mean, she's basically threatening people to, you know, think long and hard about traveling to the up north this weekend, holiday weekend. Well, that sounds like a threat to me. You can't get a hotel room, so why would you go up north anyway? And restaurants, you know, restaurants understand. This is a really important point, Greg. Restaurants understand that they have to design a process in their facility to give people confidence that they can go in there and do it in a safe way.
Sure.
And for our government to say, well, we'll just say you can open up 25% capacity or 50% capacity, that's a ridiculous requirement. Because the ultimate decider here are going to be the patrons. And I just trust people. I trust people that are operators, and I trust people that are going to be patrons and customers, that they'll make discerning decisions, and that'll differentiate those restaurants that will be successful and those that may be viewed by customers that not so successful. But for us to insert our finger into that kind of granular level of business model just doesn't make any sense to me.
Why are hotels closed up north?
That's a very good question. I haven't had a chance to ask yet, Greg.
Okay. Wow. If other retail businesses are open, that's a retail business, really.
Right. And again, you know, hotels can't afford to make mistakes. They can't afford to demonstrate to the public that they're not a place that's, you know, safe enough to go to. So they're going to be extra cautious. Let them go. Let them do their thing. They know what the requirements are. They know that the people's sensitivities are high now. You know, provide some guidelines. That's fine. But get the you-know-what out of the way.
Yeah. Like you said, Mike, these business owners, they know if they make the one big mistake, that will probably doom them.
That's exactly right. And it's the same way with employees. You know, when we went into this debacle that we're in, we already had a shortage of available labor. And so even in my factory, we have to make sure that we're proving to our employees and to their families that we have an environment that's safe enough for them to go to work. It's a partnership, because employees have to also be involved and be disciplined. But here's what I've learned in the last 8 years, Greg. When government tries to solve a problem, it often makes it worse. But when government tries to solve a problem quickly, it almost always makes it worse.
Right.
And we're seeing that in spades now. And I'm careful. I'm careful because, you know, Michigan's a bit of an outlier. We've been more restricted than, you know, 48 other states, but we're not, you know, we're not unique, and that many, many other states did the same kinds of things. And the lessons learned after we get through this, when we get perfect 2020 hindsight, are going to be so critical for us to document, learn, understand, so we're A, prepared better, if another surprise virus hits, and B, we don't make the same mistakes.
What, Mike, what do you expect to hear from the superintendent? Cautious optimism?
Yeah, I think they all have their own ideas of how they could operate and open up and do it in a safe, you know, safe way. They're not all the same, and frankly, they don't need to be all the same. Right now, you may not have heard this, but I came out yesterday and made the statement that I don't think schools for this current school year should be penalized from a budget standpoint, because when the governor issued her executive orders to close schools down, she basically prohibited schools from making any cost adjustments. And so they've just been continuing to spend money. And now, because revenues are down, and that's very documentable, because, you know, we've closed businesses down, the school aid fund is short. And I'm saying, tough. We got to figure out how to backfill that, because, you know, we tied both their hands behind their back and bound their feet together. And now we're telling them, oh, by the way, we're going to cut your budget too. And to add insult to injury, we also prohibited schools from doing strategic furloughs and layoffs so that their employees could enjoy, I use the word enjoy loosely, so their employees could enjoy the unemployment bonus that came floating down from the federal government. And so we didn't let them make any adjustments, and then we didn't allow them to be creative and strategic about letting their employees on furlough to save some money so that they can also enjoy the special bonus. And so it's just a mess. And so darn it, I don't think now next year's budget, different story. They will have had time to plan, and they knew it. They know it's coming, and we'll be able to spread it out over 12 months. But in this particular budget year, it's only 5 months, and they didn't have any time to plan, and they weren't given any options to plan. So that's going to be another battle over the next couple of weeks, I'm afraid.
Sales tax increase?
There's not going to be any tax increases, Greg.
Okay.
I mean, somebody could impeach me, I suppose, and move me out of office, and... But as long as I'm sitting in the office I happen to be privileged to sit in, there's not going to be any tax increases.
Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky, are you going to the Ford plant Thursday, Mike?
No, I don't generally go to the Trump rallies and stuff. Not because I don't want to. It's just that I got work to do, and it's not about me. It's about him. So I'm happy that he's coming to the state. I'm happy that he's making Michigan a high priority. I'm happy that he's visiting Ford. Ford could use the support. Ford's a fantastic Michigan company that, you know, has been through the toughest part of a lot of economic cycles, and they've just hung in there. And I'm very proud of them. So I'm glad that President has given them some recognition.
Mike, have a good day.
Thank you, Greg.
Take care.
Bye bye.
See ya. Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky.